your schedule.
I wonder if I've got time to record that list.
What's the
lingo?
I gotta eat
that
day. I gotta spend a week. Next reading.
Steve, where are you? Just grab my water. Hi, it's Matilda. It's so nice to hear your voice. Recording.
Yes, darling.
6, 7, 8.
I know. It's all right. We're recording. We are.
Okay. Hello. Hi. How are you?
We're professionals.
I'm yes, good. How are you? That. If we keep telling ourselves we're professionals for long enough, we will believe it. I am good for a Monday night. It is probably rainier here than it is there. And I'm already in my japamas.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. Yes. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I've survived being exercised all over London by my child, and the trip's going good. Well. So I got to go to an astrology conference, which was really fun.
Oh, that was exciting.
It was. So, but yeah.
At the Royal Albert Hall, no less.
Right. How posh.
How very, very posh. Very historic.
Yes. Very cool. And they have 12 entrances, like the 12 houses. And I thought, ooh, I wonder if astrological considerations were put into play in the architecture, because it used to be.
I don't know. Did you look that up?
I'm going to, because in Washington, D.C., in the architecture, it was actually a former slave who was an architect who did a lot of the designs, and he was an astrologer. And set things up per astrological directions.
Wow.
Isn't that okay? I can't remember his name. I'll have to look that up sometime.
Excuse me. But I'm very sorry.
That's all right. Don't die.
No, I'm trying not to. I will try very hard not to. It is a beautiful building, though, the Royal Albert Hall.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Engineers Captain Francis Fork. Fork or Folk. Fork. I like Fork, and Scott of the Royal Engineers. Major General Henry Scott.
I am a Major Minor General. There was a group practicing during our conference in the main hall, and you could hear it, and they were so good. It was like half tempting just to stand in the hallway and listen to the music.
So what sort of group were they?
It was kind of jazz. It was more like it was upbeat jazz. And but Elton John's Red Piano was in the Elgar room where we were at. This was hosted by the London School of Astrology. It was great.
Wow.
It was nice to be in a room full of people. Say again?
The organ, apparently. Oh. The organ in the Royal Albert Hall is supposed to be spectacular. I think the organ player is on TikTok.
Oh, yes, I've seen them. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. They're amazing.
Yeah.
I love them. So we need to set the record straight. Because people need to understand something.
Yeah.
We do not. What do we do not do? I'm going to give you your moment. Here's the mic.
We never discuss our predictions prior to. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to never discuss our predictions unless we see something really. And we go,
if we're feeling it, yeah. If we're feeling it,
Any idea what this might be?
Yeah.
But we actually don't discuss our predictions. The fact that they line up just shows that our individual ability is pretty spectacular. But just because the bar on TikTok for any metaphysician is very low doesn't mean to say that we stoop to that level.
No. We have high bars.
We have high bars, and we have very strong
Olympic medal level bars.
Yeah. Very, very strong ethics, and our predictions were lining up hugely before we even met or knew about each other.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't they continue to do that after the fact that we've met and we have a joint podcast? But we do know that we work incredibly well if we work as a team.
Absolutely.
Uncannily. which we may have some exciting news about in the not too distant future.
I believe we will.
But current events, April, you and I both, well, we both said on separate occasions that April was going to be a shit show.
Yeah. Way back in June last year when I did my year ahead. Yeah, yeah. I always do one in June and then I do a follow-up in end of November, early December. Because we get context. So it's a real blind prediction in June. You know, it's we're so far out. And then as we move towards that new year, I do an update. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas I think I was saying it around August. August comes to mind. That April was going to be the downfall of a lot of people. And a lot of natural disasters that are going to be a bit of a a bit of an awakening, so to speak, although I hate that word. So
it's just it's misused, but it is a good
word. But yes, yeah, so just to set the record straight, it is, and I am going to come completely clean here. Laurie will sometimes talk to me, and she can be talking to me in Russian for all I know.
Yeah, with the astrological ease.
Yeah, because she'll say it's because this is in this and that's and that. And I'm like, I've got no idea what you're saying, Laurie. Yep. I do smile and nod an awful lot. It's like having one of those, you know, having a really intelligent boyfriend when you're a teenager and you just smile and nod at them all the time because you don't want to sound dumb. So if people want to come on our individual social media pages and say, but Laurie said that, or Matilda said that, or this is because of this movement of this planet.
Matilda's not an astrologer and doesn't want to be one. She is a professional medium and psychic. Okay. And it is okay not to want to be an astrologer. Not everybody should be. There's a lot of people out there claiming to be who should not be.
And I don't believe in, and this this is probably a controversial topic here. I believe that metaphysicians should stay in their own lane.
100%, me too.
Stick to what they're good at. You do not need a finger in every pie.
Nope.
I'm good at what I do.
Yes, you are.
Really good at what I do. I'm very lucky. I've got amazing spirit guides. I'm going to tell a story in a second. And I do not need astrology to assist with what I predict or what my spirit guides give me. It is raw. It comes from no news. It comes from no other information other than my spirit guides. And Laurie, although she has the ability to work very intuitively, her information comes from these strange shaped chart things.
Because I'm so sensitive that if it's hard enough for me to do mundane astrology and stay sane, because it's honestly my least favorite. Okay. Because you do have to tap a little bit into collective energy to interpret. And it's so gross in there. It is. It's disgusting. And it gets heavy. You'll watch my face get very gray and very strained. It's not my favorite place to be. I'd much rather be doing esoteric astrology or working with my clients, you know, to build a business or something. That's much more fun. But I use astrology because I'm too sensitive intuitively to deal with the energy. It's a filter for me. So guys, knock it off. We stay in our lanes.
And you don't channel dead people. I apparently do. I went, you've all seen me become incredibly stressed and gray when the collective energy affects me. And I get spicy. But yes, I do see dead people. I went for a walk yesterday. I was telling Laurie the story. It was actually really funny. It's the first time it's ever happened to me. I see dead people, but I don't always see them. When I'm doing a reading, I get the visions, I get the feelings, I get the emotions. I can explain it that way. It's very rare that I will have a 3D dead person tapping me on the shoulder and going, "Oi, I want to give this message." And I switch off and I've had a week off and yesterday was the day before I started back at work and I'm off for a walk with a friend of mine, with Boof, and we're walking along and in Australia, there's often rows and rows of what's called miners' cottages. They're 1800s houses and they've got verandas, but they're very, very old houses. And I didn't really look. I sort of looked up and this lady looked at me and smiled and said, good morning. And I said, good morning to her. And I said, how's your day? And this person I was walking with said, who are you talking to? And I said, the lady. And he goes, there's no one there. So, that was one of my real moments. I have them every so often.
Yeah,
but I think I freaked out my friend more than I freaked myself out.
Usually.
But I laughed all the way home.
Oh, I love that.
They didn't have anything particular to say to me. They didn't have a message. I think they were just happy that someone saw them, to be honest with you. And it was, and it was quite obvious that they weren't a modern day person when I realized.
When you thought back to it. Yeah. That's funny. So, that's funny. I love that. Yeah.
That was, so I'm still chuckling on that one, more so that I freaked my friend out.
Yeah. And neither one of us read the news or watch the news, especially when we're in predictions. I'll look retroactively just to prove.
I will.
But most of my followers do it. So
I'm trying to get my people on Discord to do what they do for you and put the news articles in the Discord because I like to make videos. I've had so many lately that have happened that it's a lot to go back and make videos of them all. But I don't watch the news. It's just I have enough crap going through my head. I don't need to be No, I found out through TikTok that Russia had decided to send some ships to the Red Sea.
Yep. And that happened about 12 hours after you said it. Because I know I texted you. I was like, there you go. You did it.
But do you remember we were doing a live once and I said, there's going to be a problem with a ship in the Red Sea.
Yep.
And 12 hours after that, a ship in the Red Sea got sunk. That was quite amusing.
It was good.
And just remember, guys, that we have between us over 50 years experience, probably more. Professionally. Yeah. Over 50 years experience.
That's scary.
It's scary and makes me feel so old. But it's
why I'm going to go dye my hair. The silver is really coming in. I'm gunmetal gray at this point. We're going to go freshen me up.
It's only a little bit at the front, though.
No, there's a lot more. I just have a lot of hair.
But it'll look lovely. You're going to have it cut as well because your hair's very long.
It's very long, but I'm going to take off a lot of length. We're going to bring some bounce back.
Oh, bounce back. Very nice.
Yeah.
I have my gray removed every 3 weeks.
Good for you.
I am not naturally brunette. I am naturally very silver. But I have been, in my defense, I have been going gray since I was in my 20s.
See, my brother is like that. It took me till I was 50. And then all of a sudden,
How does it feel to be God's favorite?
Right. Well, my great uncle Fred lived to be 103 and he was salt and pepper. It's just genes. Yeah.
My father was gray very, very young.
My dad too.
But my mother, who passed very young but still would have been of the age to get gray hair, I don't think that she had any.
Yeah, it's just genes. But because I'm going to the Middle East next, I need to look my best. So
I'm sure you will rock a new haircut. I can't wait to see it.
I know. It's going to be all fancy.
Very exciting. I had my hair done last week because I had that photo shoot.
You did. It looks so cute too.
I loved it.
You looked very Betty Page.
I wasn't sure whether I liked it. Do you know, it took me until yesterday to get all the eyeliner off from the makeup artist. I used everything from micellar water to cleansing balm to eye makeup remover to wipes. It took me cotton buds and micellar water and an hour to get rid of it all.
Wow.
I do not know what she used, but I need to know what she used because she did a good job, but it was a lot of eye makeup.
Wow. I can't wait because you did that photo shoot. We're going to see really cool pictures.
Well, I hope so. I just,
no,
yes.
I know so. I know I, so.
Always,
I know
I've never
so.
Been professionally photographed, but I thought it
when
was
you
time.
Have a, when you have a good one, because those pictures I have up on my Patreon are from 2018. So yeah, I'm not skinny anymore because I'm not just coming out of my divorce year where I was really stressed out. I need that kind of stress to get that skinny.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And I made sure I took pictures because I knew the minute I got happy, I was going to get floofy again.
I didn't do that. I got to a size like an 8, which is in.
It's like a 4.
It's
That's
four?
What I was in. I was in a 4. Yeah. I was that mm-hmm. skinny. Yeah.
I did that when I got divorced. 2012, mm-hmm. mother mm-hmm. died, got divorced, teenage no. child off the rails, going right. between two countries.
Yeah.
I was skinny. I was skinny. And did I take photographs? No, I did not.
See,
now I am.
What is it from? Have you ever watched Schitt's Creek?
Oh, I love
Miranda.
Schitt's
Creek.
Yes.
You know, take pictures of yourself while you're naked when you're young.
Wish I was as fat as when I first thought I was fat.
Oh my God, you're telling me. And I've been losing weight because I got really big for me. I hadn't got that heavy since I'd been pregnant with my daughter, and I got elephantine with her. And people did not see that. I did a lot of up close because I'm very, very small framed.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I got bigger than I think I may have got bigger than when I was pregnant with her back in 2023 because I wasn't moving. I was reading and recording and I was not walking. I mean, I barely went anywhere and I was just having stuff delivered and we also had a blazingly hot summer in California, like 50, almost 50 degree days in centigrade. So,
ow.
You know, it was just, it hurt. It was painfully hot. And so I was like, you know, I just need that. So I've been losing weight for the last mm-hmm. 6 months and slowly and carefully and moving more, getting my body moving and then walking tremendous amounts here in London, which nearly killed me. Survived it. My first day, my daughter walked me 18,000 steps.
That,
and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But yeah, so, you know, take pictures of yourself when you're skinny. Always do that because you never know how long it's going to last. And I thought, I'll never let myself get heavy again. No.
I said exactly the same. And it's lack of movement. I don't live in the best place to go for a walk. I need to get in my car to drive somewhere to go for a walk.
Yeah.
I've got a dog that's been really sick.
Yeah.
So leaving him has been painful for me. I've been working nonstop.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, mm-hmm. I am going to start walking and I'm joining the pool because I have become floofy and no more so though when I had to find clothes to take to Melbourne for mm-hmm. this photo shoot. Mm-hmm. And I was just in tears trying to find stuff because
aww.
I've got beautiful clothes, but I look like a stuffed chicken in all of them.
I hate that. I've been right there and and still kind of am in some, like I can't wear all the stuff I really like to wear. So.
But people, love your body. You are beautiful exactly the way you are.
Well,
we're not preaching, but we're older and we have to be healthy.
And that's the number one. It's not about vanity. It is when certain things don't fit. Like I've never, this is a menopausal thing. The mm-hmm. belly.
The belly.
My butt and thighs, absolutely. You know,
thighs are the bane of my life trying to get pants because I always have the tiniest waist and the chunky legs.
Same.
Now I can't get the jeans over my belly. I'd rather wear a pair of leggings. But it is a menopausal thing,
soft
but
pants.
It can be helped moving.
Yeah.
I've got
and
to move.
Movement. And as we get older, and this is really important, guys, the biggest problem for elderly people, especially women, is loss of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And so because you lose your mobility and then that's it. You lose your independence. So we need to do our ankle exercises, our knees, get our quads strong to support our knees. Because, boy, I can feel that I'm not – I've had iffy knees most of my life and have avoided surgery by keeping my legs strong. This is the first time in decades that my legs need more work.
Mm-hmm.
They've been getting it. But yeah, this is important. So we, when we're in service, and it's been a hard time, and everybody's freaking out over it. With this, we live in a time of systemic change, and I know it's startling for people who didn't know it was coming. You know, yeah. I've watched it come since 1997. You know, so because I had teachers tell me about it, and then try to figure out what was coming. I didn't know what was coming necessarily, but you know. And so we've been, you and me both, have been supporting people through this time, and
yep.
not and we've supporting ourselves.
And we teach that. So I teach mm-hmm. to support yep. yourself and look after yep. yourself. And yep. now same. I have to take a note out of my own book, and yep. I'm stepping back. Mm-hmm. I've just released my June dates, and mm-hmm. this is the first time that I'm only working 3 days a week.
Yeah.
There's going to be other mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be running a lot more classes and a lot more groups yep. and things like that yep. over yep. the month. But I've yep. had to go my mental health
yes.
and my ability to care for others has to be managed side by side. And I was working way too much and getting tired. I've been sick a bunch in the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. And I've had to just say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. I'm still offering mm-hmm. readings. I still mm-hmm. have, you know, I'm still going to be doing the work on social mm-hmm. media, which is free, by the way. We don't charge and we don't get
no,
paid for
we don't
any work
use
on social
the
media.
Creator fund. We don't, it's public service is what it is.
Our job is to, you know, I know that my job and my mm-hmm. Service needs to be to help and support people and calm people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And same. It's really important that I am well enough to be able to do that, because April is a crunchy month.
It's very
but October
crunchy.
Is crunchier, and we all need to get to October.
I just don't even October. Oh, although October October the country of what the fuck October.
Oh, it sounds like something out of a Disney movie, doesn't it? Welcome right. to Octobia.
Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest.
Have you sung in Covent Garden yet?
I did. I mortified my daughter. It was the day I went to the astrology shop on Neil Street.
Amazing.
And as we hit Covent Garden, I looked at her and I went, lots of chocolates for me to eat. And she went, Mom, stop. Woman's warm heart, and I was singing it just like right by her, very quietly, kind of like Gene Wilder
uh-huh.
in his muttering in Willy Wonka and the Charlie, you know,
Charlie and the, yeah, I know yeah, what you mean,
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Anyway, and she'd be like, "Mother, stop!" And I'd be good for like 5 minutes, and I'd be like, "Woman's warm heart won't feed a wound, nipping lovely, mother." So I felt it was mission accomplished.
Fantastic.
That's great. And then she got really mad at me, and I went, "Ooh, Professor Riggins." I'm so mean.
I don't think it's mean at all. I think it's our mm-hmm. given right to embarrass our children on as many possible occasions as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And keep doing it until we are old. And then as we get old, we can then pretend that we're not actually meaning to do it.
Yeah. Be like, huh? Yeah. Well, and people, you know, everybody loves to think they were that innocent child. But I would like to point out that my child at about 4 years old, almost five, ran down a grocery store aisle ahead of me and then announced to the entire world, "Mommy, your diapers are here," meaning the feminine pads, just to be a helper. And she was so far away from me in that moment. Now, this is in the Middle East. You don't have to worry about people stealing your children there.
Mm-hmm. I did. I worried about them taking my children.
No, they don't. They won't take children. And trust me, with their blue eyes, you don't have to worry about kidnappings. But anyway, I just went, "Oh, whose child is that?"
I love how they embarrass us, though.
Oh,
I once turned around and my two children there was a crowd outside the front of a store. Okay. Mm-hmm. My two, I had only turned my back for a couple of minutes. They had undressed the mannequins in the window of the shop. It was like a cotton on or similar to that. Oh, so the clothes could just be pulled off and whatever. And I think eldest boy was instructing youngest boy on how to do it. I don't think he was actually getting his hands dirty. But yeah, there was a crowd watching them in the middle of a shopping centre in Melbourne. Oh, so God. I will do whatever I want to embarrass them. Yeah, it's
called karma, man.
Yeah, it's karma. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they will get what's coming to them. And mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
I used to do the same with my dad sometimes, though, when I was shopping with him. When he was young, I used to say, have you seen my dad? He's on day release from the centre.
Oh, that's funny.
So we were going to talk about something today, weren't we? We were going to talk about experience and how we've got lots of it.
Yeah, we do, because we've been doing this a long time.
That's
part of why, and with experience comes confidence. Yeah, I think that's the only way we get confidence is experience.
Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between confidence and ego.
Oh, yes. Talk about that, please. Tell me your thoughts on that, Matilda.
My thoughts mm-hmm. are there's a difference between having ego and a reading. So if I was egoic doing a personal reading for someone, I'm putting my own thoughts into it. The same with when I'm making world predictions. If I use my ego for instance, if I was living in a country and I was making a prediction about politicians, etc., and I was attached to the outcome, that's my ego instilling in that prediction. I've actually had a couple of trolls on social media lately, and I think it's the same person under different names, or they're sending out their flying monkey.
Yeah, they do that.
Going underneath one of my obviously don't like one of my predictions. I don't like you. You're very egoic. And I know, and they mentioned another reader who's actually not on TikTok. They're a YouTube reader. They're a British reader who I don't particularly like because he's very right wing and he comes across as very right wing.
Oh, great.
But they were mentioning him and saying how great he was and how he's far less egoic than I am. And then every day there was three or four comments accusing me of having ego. And I'm like, I'm probably the least egoic reader that's on TikTok, to be fair. Because I don't think I do use my ego.
To say I give my predictions with detachment.
Mm.
And I use the skills I learned as a political analyst.
Well, you have
where you have to step back and be detached. Because even in astrology, you can have a very biased interpretation, because it's a framework. It's like language, right?
And words can mean lots of different things. It's down to the interpretation of whether
it's the... And that's what makes it.
Yeah, whether it's the chart or whether it's what I'm given, it's down to our own personal interpretation of what we're given. Yeah. And we get it wrong.
Like I said, I have about an 87% accuracy reading for my public predictions, because I only give a public prediction when I'm 80% certain.
Right.
I don't give my, I wonder if that might happen, because my worst case scenarios could make people sleepless for months and years.
100%. And so, that's why, and that goes with experience
and
empathy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so like back in 2016 in Facebook groups, during election years, everybody becomes a political astrologer, which is ridiculous, because political astrology is a form of mundane astrology. It's a very rules-based. It's the oldest form of astrology. It's very technical. It's not you look at a chart, you make a guess. Okay.
Right. Okay.
No. And it's not as simple as, and I'm going to speak astrologicalese, and there might be some people in the audience who understand. Jupiter's at the top of the chart. Nobody cares. Okay. That's not enough to predict anything. One planet being a one spot is not enough for anything. It's not. It's very technical. And a lot of people didn't want Trump to become president. And so they were all, Hillary's going to win. I looked at the charts And I knew before the primaries were over that a populist would win the general election. There were two populists running. There was Bernie Sanders and there was Donald Trump. Bernie Sanders had remarkable astrology up until the final convention. And then it went. So, and he got screwed, right? Basically. That's my opinion. But he got pushed out. So that left one populist, even though Donald Trump isn't really a populist, but he was using a populist platform. That left one. And then I looked at his chart compared to Hillary Clinton's chart. She did not have good astrology transits. He did. And I made my statement in this group. And the amount of people who called me a right-wing Nazi. And I'm like, I have never liked the man. I didn't like the man when I was in high school. He's been a creeper forever. He's a disgusting POS. The astrology was very clear. That's why I say he will never lead anything again in his lifetime. The astrology is further very clear right now. We will not see Donald Trump as president, period. Mm-hmm. It's very, very clear. And so people don't realize you have to step back from your opinions and go, this is the writing on the wall. People don't have to like it.
They picked Biden. I was given Biden last time. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding it very, very difficult this time. And I've said this to you. Trump is not going to be a leader. But no. I cannot see a
who's
going to
be president
outcome
there isn't.
Who is going to be president, because I feel there's going to be a lot of legal action. But there is I haven't even been shown that come October that it's going to be those two. Like, I keep asking my spirit guides and they're not giving me
it's
any
not clear
fucking
at all.
Answers.
No. No, not even in the astrology.
But it's I know that it's going to be a Democratic leader. Mm-hmm. But who the candidates are, which I can tell you.
It's clear as mud, even in the astrology. And that's something I've been saying. It's in my Patreon from last year it looks like the party that currently holds executive power retains power. It looks very litigious. So, and it's funny, that's been my standard route. And you keep saying, I love how we confirm each other.
Yeah, we confirm
other. It's really nice.
Yeah.
And we even use similar words.
Do we?
And I found that, yes, because in my predictions, like I see it's likely, now notice the conditional language.
Okay.
I'm not 100%. People don't always listen to my conditional language.
Oh, yeah, no,
this
I
is
get
how
that,
you can,
yeah.
You can tell I was a political analyst, right? It is likely that Kamala Harris inherits the presidency. You said almost exactly those same words.
Right.
And I went, oh, how interesting. You used exactly the same term as me. I find that fascinating.
I keep asking you. Do you remember, I keep saying, I asked you some political questions because of something that I was seeing. And it was around what happens if something happens to Biden before the election. If it's after the election and he wins, Kamala inherits. If it's before the election and there's no candidate,
It's up to the DNC. So that's not a constitutional question. The constitutional question is if he gets elected but is not inaugurated and he dies before the inauguration, that's covered in the Constitution. Kamala would inherit the presidency regardless. Okay. She'd be the one sworn in.
Right.
If it happens before Election Day, it would be up to the Democratic National Committee to declare the candidates. It would probably be Kamala. I would be surprised if they bumped her out. But they would then, you'd probably either be looking at Pete Buttigieg or it cannot be Governor Newsom. You cannot have two candidates from the same state. And he will not be president this year. He does not have anything for that.
No, but I think that he's a possibility for the future.
Yeah, possible.
And I don't discount that. But I've seen Kamala as president since before her and Biden won the election.
Same. She's got great transits. She's got great transits for 2025. It's a very rough year for her this year. She's especially in October, November. She's under a tremendous amount of strain,
which right really before makes November me wonder 2nd. What's going on. Which really, because I am not getting a clear picture of October, other than I keep being shown there's going to be a lot of natural disasters. And that worries
a lot
me.
There's a lot of civil unrest as well.
There's a lot of civil unrest, but I think it's coming from globally. Both sides.
Actually, I think the left is going to start it. It's funny because I think the right has a lot of cosplayers. Mm-hmm. I think they have a lot of people who are a lot of talk with a few
and
crazies.
And don't actually do it. They're too...
They're keyboard warriors. I mean, honestly, if you look at January 6th, as horrific as it was to be an American citizen watching our federal building, you know, our Capitol, be assaulted by its own citizens, which was surreal, it was a piss poor job. I lived in countries with civil unrest, and let me tell you, that was a piss poor job of some civil unrest. It could have been done so much better. Very poorly executed.
It was honestly like watching a couple of bitch fights slap each other that are drunk on Saturday night. They really couldn't organize a piss up in a brewery. But that being said, they did do damage and they hurt people. And there was
it was horrendous. But it was nothing. Like, if you were going to organize something, it was not done well.
But October is worldwide.
It's going to be it is global.
And I think that there's a lot of people pissed off with the right wing.
Big time. They're done.
Side of propaganda is what I'm going to say is the propaganda. Because I've been witness to a lot of propaganda that I didn't know that was going on in another country. And I was made aware of it this week. And I just think that the left wing are just going, you've got nothing to say apart from stirring shit.
That's
a good old Australian colloquial term.
I think it's so serious in a lot of countries where rights are on the line, where you're going to have people, if they're not getting representation and they've been following the rules and they've been using process, that they will be done. And it's kind of a last stand kind of energy of, oh, thou shalt not. So, and it is global. It's not just one space. It's not just the United States. I keep telling that to my people. It's not just America. It's global. It's been so nice to be out of the country where I can actually find out what's happening in the rest of the world. That's really nice.
I know. It's it amazes me how Americans on TikTok think that I should know everything, but also the fact that they would be the center of the news, even if I watched it. We get very little American news over here. Perfectly honest.
You're so lucky.
There is very, very, very little. Get more British news and more Australian news. We get a lot of like what's going on in New Zealand, maybe Indonesia, because they're our closest neighbours. Right. It's amazing.
America doesn't even, in America, you don't even hear what's going on in Canada and Mexico. Okay. I mean, it is a bubble. It is bad. You get one or two stories once in a while.
And this would be really nice. They're trying to stop TikTok.
That's 100% why they're trying to stop TikTok.
Because 100%. People being informed is their worst nightmare.
Huge, huge, huge. The fact that both parties, and I think this is what, I think it's the TikTok thing that is going to send it over the edge, because what's got the right and the left joined together is you did a bipartisan bill, speedy overnight, to ban a social media app, but there's a quote unquote border crisis. There's no health care. People are starving. There's the houseless problem. The gun problem. Our children are dying in schools on the daily. It doesn't even make the news unless it's
Let's all get together and ban an app that helps people understand that there is a bit of the world outside of America. Do you know what the headline was on the Australian newspaper the day that Donald Trump won the election in 2020?
No, but do tell.
Well, the last person to leave the USA today, please turn the light out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I am not biased because I don't like the guy. I'm just telling you, I'm not making my predictions because I don't like the guy. I am giving you what is coming from spirit.
Right. Well, and the same with the astrology. It's straight up the astrology. Do I cackle while I do it because I don't like him? Yes.
Of course.
But if I felt like I would be warning people if I thought he was going to win. Are you kidding me? I'd be like, you need to be ready. You need to do this. This is what, you know, this guy's going to win. You know, so no, I do cackle with Schadenfreude when I see bad things happening to him because he's a disgusting piece of shit.
I really want to know what they're slipping in the MAGA hat's lemonade to make them so chilled about the situation.
Well, he said it very, very clearly in a rally. I love stupid people. And they cheered. They cheered. They're like, yes, I'm the one you love. I am stupid. And it's on tape. You know, you can't make this shit up. I mean, he really did. So, gets me is on the other side is the left will say, well, thank you. What about Biden? And like, I think Biden's a twat. I've never liked him. Okay. He's a center right politician. The Democrats are not meant to be right wing. Mm-hmm. They are more to be. We don't have a true left in America anyway. It has been so pulled over.
You don't, do you?
No, we do not. Yeah. We lost our left because of the Red Scare. And so we've had our social, everything my grandmother worked for, building social programs in the 60s mm-hmm. and 70s, all of that's been eroded now. Children go hungry. Mm-hmm. You know, a country's power really is reflected in how they treat the least of their people.
Yeah.
We are fascists, you know, mm-hmm. and that's people are like, well, if we vote for Trump, we are in fascism. Too late. We've been there for 25 years. Mm-hmm. You have your choice. You can have a theocracy, you know, a theocratic fascist, which would be the right wing evangelical creepies, mm-hmm. or you can have the corporatists, which is the Democrat Party. They're fully mm-hmm. invested in the corporate. There are some good people in Congress, and there's a handful who try to do right. Now, do I think Joe Biden's an evil human being the way I think Trump's an evil human being? No, I don't think Joe Biden is inherently evil. But his politics are very center right. And he's done his policies are actually hurting our national security right now. Mm-hmm. And so, and I say that not as an astrologer, but as a political analyst. Yeah. I'm just like, whoa,
and
man.
See, you can do that. Mm-hmm. I give, and you and I have argued about this before. We've had a heated discussion about Biden before.
Well, that's fine. Yeah.
Whereas I actually, it's not that I dislike him. Mm-hmm. It's not that I like him particularly. I go by energy and what I'm given by spirit, which is that he is actually, I'm not going to talk about that in depth, what I have been given because of what's going on at the moment. That's going to bring the conversation right down. He is actually a very good public servant. And what he's wanted to do his whole life is serve the public.
Well, I will agree with that.
Has not actually been the best.
But I think he truly does believe he is a person of service. I agree with you on that.
Whereas I've always said that Donald Trump, when I go into his energy, it's full of Donald Trump and mashed potato. So
he's a wrecking ball. He's just a wrecking ball.
He is an absolute wrecking ball.
Yeah.
I must do something about the squeezy balls that I've got. I've got stress balls in my cupboard. I've got like 500 orange stress balls that say no to the Angry Mango 2024 that I haven't advertised on my own, like as a medium, because I didn't want to be accused of being biased.
Put them on Sassy Sears.
I think I might put them on Sassy Sears. Yeah, that's a really good
Sassy
idea.
Sassy Sears, say no to the Angry Mango because he's gross. And he is. And he's disgusting. I mean, his energy.
He's more of a sexual deviant.
He's for really
entertainment icky. Purposes only. But what mm-hmm. absolutely cracks me up is that this guy is, you know, I got Roe versus Wade overturned. It was me that did it. How many women do you think that he sent off with a bit of money in their pocket mm-hmm. through his lifetime?
Oh, yeah. But that's different because he's going to come across and say, well, yeah, I can because I got money.
Yeah.
You know, people like him don't care about, you know, anyone? The economic impact, the massive, like people are getting mad about these. You're hearing more and more young mothers right now doing egregious things with their children. You know, we've had some really bad things happen. Are they in states where you can't get an abortion now? Are we going, because, you know, everybody mm-hmm. wants to make women out. Oh, well, once you have the baby, you'll be a good mother. No mammal, no mammal species works that way. There are mammals that eat. Look at the quokka. You know, and there are human quokkas.
I'm a very sane human being who wanted my child, but mm-hmm. when my youngest son was a baby, if someone had offered me 50 quid for him at one point, I'd have given him to them purely because he screamed 24/7 for two years of his life.
Was like that. Yeah, my brother was like that.
And I, you know, I had to put him in his cot more than once just to walk away and catch myself.
Yeah.
And I think I have intelligence and empathy mm-hmm. and some form of support. There are people mm-hmm. out there that don't have that.
No
and
support.
Don't know that you can just put a baby in a cot and walk mm-hmm. away.
Mm-hmm. No. And there is no social support.
I mean, like not walk away. Yeah. I don't mean like walk away and leave them for good. I'm just talking about to get 5 minutes of a break.
Right, just go to the bathroom. To go to the bathroom by yourself. Yeah, or
go
something.
To the bathroom. Yeah. Just you know, breathe without mm-hmm. having a child screaming. Mm-hmm. It's
my back's messed up because I used to have one on each hip all the time.
Yeah,
you know, until their legs were dangling down. But yeah,
yep, mm-hmm. that's just how it was. But mm-hmm. we are lucky because I am lucky because. You know, I had some support. I had some knowledge, intelligence, and empathy. So
I had a scant amount of support. I didn't have a lot. It was hard because in America, they've really broken the social fabric for the. It's funny, and it's been the right wing who's done it with their family values. Those aren't family values. We've really broken our community bonds. And that's this time period we're moving into. We're going to see things reshaping. I think 20 years from now, we're in a much better situation.
Absolutely. And we just have to get through. A lot of people are saying, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. I understand you're tired, but just dig a little
everybody's
bit deeper.
Everybody's tired.
Yeah. Everybody's tired. I'm tired.
Get over yourself. You're tired? This eclipse coming up. Oh my God. This eclipse coming up is going to smack people in the ass if they're being selfish. And everybody is making it centered just around themselves. We are collectively mm-hmm. going through one of the biggest changes humans have seen since the Bronze Age. Okay. Period. You get what I'm saying, Madam Economist. It's that big. But it doesn't mean you can't thrive through it.
Yeah.
There were people who did well during the Dark Ages. They were resourceful.
That is the tip. Okay. I said the other day, somebody asked me, what vocations or jobs do you see thriving? The entrepreneur will thrive. Those that can stop sitting there and saying, I don't have enough and go and find enough.
There is
a lot of work that people need to do on their own resilience and their own, and where it comes from, how to get it, how to work on it. Instead of sitting in your victimhood that we're in a shit time, work on your own resistance and what you can do to help yourself instead of waiting for the unicorn to drop with your
gift bag. Stop looking for mommy and daddy out there in the corporate world to save you. Stop trying to attach yourself to a bigger entity thinking you're going to be safe because you're not going to be. You have to collectively, like what Matilda and I are doing. Matilda and I are joining forces. That was a beautiful serendipitous thing. I've been preaching this for 20 years because why do you think I went and did business coaching?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm an applied astrologer. And so I was like, I'm going to teach people how to know how to build an online business, run an online mm-hmm. business, how to take very little and turn it into something. When I was a kid, I loved the story of the loaves and fishes. And I'm going to teach people how to do that, you know, and it's possible. Yeah.
And it is possible. Mm-hmm. But I am working on the core reason why mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. don't feel they have power. I will mm-hmm. be running some courses over the mm-hmm. coming months mm-hmm. because so many people have just...
Well, it's social conditioning.
It's social conditioning. And mm-hmm. I don't think COVID helped. I don't think it's helped that people are being told they cannot do something. You're never mm-hmm. going to buy a house. You're never going to do this. You're never going to be able to do that.
That's done on purpose to disenfranchise people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we mm-hmm. need to get mm-hmm. people back believing in mm-hmm. themselves and realizing mm-hmm. that they have the power to do exactly what they want and need to do.
So I have my mystery school, and in my mystery school, it is actually a program to build resiliency, right? But so many people will start and stop it because they want to argue for their limitations.
Big sigh.
Mm-hmm. So guys, stop it. Stop arguing. Well, I had this happen and I had this happen. Matilda and I've had a lot happen in our lives.
There's a lot. It's not what happens to you. Okay. I listened to a story the other day. All right. And this is an amazing, amazing story of a woman in South Africa who was she was left for dead after a horrific attack. Mm-hmm. Literally, her windpipe had been slit and her stomach was hanging out of herself. And she managed to get herself up with one hand on her stomach and one hand holding her head so her head didn't go back. She threw herself into the middle of the road and waited for someone to come and save her, okay? And she said that it is not about what's happened to me. It's not about what trauma we have been through. It's about our ability to deal with that trauma and the resilience we build from it and what that trauma can teach us. And people are so easy to give up. Oh, I broke my fingernail last week and I just don't think I can go to work. Or they just, do you understand? It's the excuses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can live in an excuse and you can live in your victimhood. And that's mm-hmm. great. If you mm-hmm. want to do that, fine. Don't waste mm-hmm. your money having an astrology reading or a psychic mm-hmm. reading because you're just throwing good money mm-hmm. after bad because you don't want to make the changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always say in my readings, you know, when I do strategy readings, mm-hmm. you still have to take action on this. This is good timing. But if you don't take action, you might find $5 in an old winter coat. Mm-hmm. If you do take action, you might land yourself some real meaningful opportunities. You know, a good example is that conference I ended up at, as you well know, because I've told you what happened. I was looking to go to the store, that the very first metaphysical store I'd ever been to in my life, which was Mysteries Bookstore in London. That's closed. The physical, they're online only now. And so I thought, well, I wonder if there's anything else. And the astrology shop came up. That's the name of it. And I looked at the pictures and I thought, oh, it's just another new AD shop, you know. And I put it away. Well, it was weird. Now, my guidance is very loud because I have asked it to be loud. I don't do well in subtleties, as you well know. You got to be really direct with the Lori. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I tend to get little visuals. So the shop picture keeps flashing in my head. And I'm like, I don't want to go to that store. And I do argue with my guides. It's just who I am. I will argue with a telephone pole.
Yeah.
But I also am very open, like, hey, get louder. Right. And so it just little flashes, little promptings, and almost like a poke, 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 poke energetically, just go. And so I finally went, well, how far is it to walk? Cause I need to get my steps in 3.3 miles. Now I've learned that just because my guidance is telling me to go somewhere doesn't mean what I need to learn and know is directly related to that thing. But just do what guidance says and something's going to happen. So I walk, Google takes me on a merry chase. I walked a lot more than 3.3 miles that day. I show up at the shop. I walk in. It looks like a TikTok metaphysical fest. I walk right back out. I mean, I do not like being around a lot of people anyway, because again, I'm very energetically sensitive. This is why I use the filter of astrology. I walk in. I'm like, oh, no, I'm out. And walked out. And as I walk down the road, because now I'm in Covent Garden, kind of the Camden, I'm walking through and I get a very strong thought that says, get your ass back in that store. I'm like, fine. I go into the store. I walk in. Now everybody's cleared out. And I was like, oh, okay. So I walk in. I look at the bookshelves. I own almost every book in the store. But I see there's some I can't quite get to and they look interesting. So I turn around and sure enough, there's the owner. And I knew he was an astrologer because we look like old dusty professors. That's how you know a real astrologer. We do not wear flowing robes. We do not have wizard's hats on. We look like eccentric professors, the one everybody wants to be in class with because we're weird, right? So that interaction happened. I grabbed the books. I did not feel complete. And you know what I'm talking about when the energy hasn't completed yet. So I go to buy, I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? I've had the conversation with him. It wasn't him. I've got these books, which now I have to put in my suitcase. I look down on the counter and there's the flyer for the astrology thing. That was a Monday, you know, a week ago. And the event was on Saturday. And it was the modality of astrology that I do that was being celebrated. Fantastic. Which is rare. That's, I could have ignored all of it. Yeah, and had nothing happen. I still had to take the walk. You know what
Laurie,
I mean?
What did I ask you when you were leaving for London?
Find a conference.
I said, is there a conference that you're going to or you can find?
So you did. It's almost like you're psychic.
I know. I can't.
But that was in the back of my mind as well. But that was in the back of my mind as well. The minute I saw that, I thought of you. I was like, oh, Matilda.
Little bits and pieces. It's the puzzles that all go together that make the prediction a whole, and your own intuition plays into it. People have got to start using their intuition.
You've got to listen to it. It might look weird, you know. I could have given up too, because that damn my own resistance is probably what messed up the Google Maps. And I ended up by Buckingham Palace instead of Camden Town. You know, what? Can you be on opposite ends, Lori? But actually, that was kind of nice. So it was, I was like, I wouldn't have gone.
London is a beautiful place to walk in.
It's a beautiful
and
walking
around,
city.
And it's an easy place to walk.
There's no hills.
Yeah, there's no hills. And it's also, I love the architecture. And you can go certain parts of London and just walk around and soak up the history, which I just love.
And we're in Kensington, which was the spiritualism hotbed, you know. So you walk by different buildings and there's Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's building. And he was a spiritualist. And you walk by, there's these little, you know, the little blue plates. And I've got a bunch of pictures of all that. I walked past the Rudolf Steiner building, you know.
Amazing.
And I read Steiner when I was like 9 or 10. Not realizing what it was, you know, but that was my guidance. So guys, you have to listen. I argued. I argued.
Yeah.
But still be open to, you know, that, oh, okay, fine. I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do that thing Matilda told me to do.
I mutter under my breath so many times on a daily basis about what I don't want to do and what I do do. And now I'm going to start listening to my own guides.
Yeah. Yeah, well, absolutely. We have to. All right.
Well, I think that's it for this week, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. We didn't mortify anybody, I think, this time.
No, and there was no talk of hemorrhoids.
None until now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I had to bring the vibe down. Listen,
why not?
I don't know. Have we had anybody telling us that they were traumatized?
No. No, in fact, I've only heard that people love what we do. So fantastic. People are getting good chuckles out of it, and that's part of the point.
Good. And don't forget to send your questions to Laurie and I.
That's
sassyseers@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So, I got it.
There we go. We'll put it in the show notes. All right. Send your question. All righty.
Send your questions. See you next week.
Till next week.
Bye-bye.